Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Nick Frazier here with you. Nick in for David. It's draft day. There is no NHL draft day movie. Of course, there's an NFL draft day movie. But it is NHL draft day. The Predators have at the moment, the number 5 overall pick in the first round of the NHL draft, which starts tonight at 6 o'clock our time. We'll have coverage right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, starting at 6 o'clock, anchored by Max Herz and Robbie Stanley. I'm really looking forward to our show today. A lot of draft talk. Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, will join us at 11:45. And he's going to stick around for the noon segment because former Predators forward Vernon Fiddler will join us at noon. His son Blake, a 6'4", 209-pound defenseman, is projected to go in the first round of the NHL draft tonight. Scott Wheeler, friend of the show, has Blake Fiddler going number 24 overall, which is smack dab in the middle of where the Predators have first-round picks at number 23 and number 26. So who knows? Maybe Blake Fiddler, born here in Nashville, will be a member of the Predators organization just like his father by the end of the day. But we will have Vern Fiddler on at noon. And Willie, I'm sure a lot of old-time Predators fans know, there aren't many characters in Predators history who match up with Vern Fiddler. So that should be a fun conversation with Fiddler at noon.
He is a funny, funny guy. He is a great, great character. And for those that maybe a little bit newer to town, he was signed out of the ECHL. He was not a first-round pick like his son
is about to be. He was undrafted.
He was undrafted. And at a time where the Predators were just trying to find any kind of talent, as they were, because the rules were so different, they didn't get what Seattle got, they didn't get what Vegas got, so they had to build, and it took 5 or 6 years to really build a team that had a chance to win. So they were finding it, but nobody knew who anybody was anyway with the fan base, so you can imagine when the Predators fans saw the transaction, Predators, Nashville, signs Vern Fiddler. Hey, perfect.
There's
a Fiddler. He's got to play for Nashville. So he was a great success story and a great expansion story. Played for a long time in the league, left the Predators, and then came back and was a role player on the 2017 run. Had a game-winning goal in St. Louis in a huge swing game in that second-round series. So great history with Nashville. Played in Dallas for a long time. And so his son, I think when he was in his formative years, was playing in the youth hockey system in Dallas. But I believe Blake was born in Nashville.
He was born in Nashville. According to Hockey Reference, no Tennessee-born, and I emphasize that second word, born player has made it to the NHL. Before you text in at 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say, Blake Jeffrion! Yes, Blake Jeffrion was raised in this area.
Right.
But
he's kind of the opposite.
Right. Yeah. He was born in Florida. So no Tennessee-born player has made it to the NHL. Blake Fiddler, expected to be drafted tonight, could become the first. So looking forward.
What were the chances they'd both be named Blake?
That's how crazy is that? I hadn't even thought of that. That is true. And we are going to go heavy on the NHL draft throughout this program. But Derek Mason, he's pissed off for greatness today.
Boy.
He came in hot.
Yeah. And at the moment, it's just residue. You know, right now it's just a residue of me being really angry at the moment. So there's
been a cool down period.
There's been a tremendous
cool down.
It's
kind of what you tell the coach after a tough loss. You know,
absolutely.
Go cool down for 10 minutes before you go face the media.
That's why the locker room isn't open to the media right after the game.
That's true.
They let the players get an opportunity to cool down, the coach to say what they need to say, and then, answer questions. So, so it's residue now, which means it's much calmer. But this morning, I left the house early because I had an appointment, so I figured I would go to my appointment in Franklin, and then, you know, double back around and come to work. I was going to Classic Sports Barbershop, where I go just about every week, my homeboy Tony. So I'm headed down Hillsboro, going south. And at the intersection of Hillsboro and Old Hickory, they're doing construction, basically. And I'm trying to figure out, why the hell are you doing construction at a major intersect at 9 o'clock in the morning? Why? Why couldn't you wait until later in the evening to do that? So everybody was a little backed up on all ends, all four intersections. So finally we get through, and I'm driving along, and this lady is on my left getting ready to turn on the Old Hickory going east. So I just go by her, and she must have realized that maybe I don't need to be going east, maybe I need to be going straight. And she timed it wrong, and she hit the back end of my truck. I heard boom, boom, boom. And I just said, you got to be freaking kidding me. And that's what I said. You got to be freaking kidding me. So I'm flustered a little bit. I'm going one. I don't know why I went left, but I went over left. Then I went over right. Then I went over left again. And then I finally parked. I'm like, what am I doing? So I was flustered myself. So I park, I get out, I'm moaning and riching and whatever you want to call it. And I finally realized, like, let me calm down. It's just the car. It can be fixed. I'm sure this lady has insurance. And I can see the lady. She's flustered because she knows it's her fault. So I'm like, I'm not making this any better. So I said, listen. I just walked up to her car, and I was still a little angry. I get it, but I didn't walk up to her car yelling and screaming. But I said, listen, just give me your information. I got an appointment. Just give me your information, and we're exchanging information. She said, what is your name? I said, Derek. And then it goes from bad to even worse. Then she starts boohooing. I hit Derek Mason. I'm like, lady, no, you're fine. I'm good. I'm just like any other guy. As long as you got insurance, we're good. Nobody got hurt. I said, you're okay. Don't worry about it. We're good. She gave me her information. I just gave her my cell, and her insurance company will contact me or whatnot. But she gets out the car, and she's shaking a little bit and giving me all her stuff. I said, don't worry. We'll be fine. Everything's good. So she got back in her car. She's boohooing. Then I end up just texting her and say, hey, listen, you know, everybody, we all have moments like this or mornings like this. I said, but we're going to both have a great day moving forward. We're not going to let this, you know, hamper what we're going to do. And don't worry about it. The car can be fixed. And I left it at that. So she texts back. She's like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yada, yada. So anyway, that has been my morning. So the back end of my car has a huge dent in it. It's drivable, but it's noticeable. So I need to get it fixed. So that was my morning.
Lady, you just made the 11 o'clock segment on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. You know who you are.
Yeah, she knows who she is. But listen, I've been in accidents before, and we all, you know, our first instinct, especially when it's not our fault, our first instinct is to just get upset. Like, what are you doing? Especially if you're trying to get somewhere. It's like, what are you doing? You're flustered and you're arguing and you're fussing and your body is gyrating and hands. But then once you sit and think about it, it's like, okay, it's just a car. Nobody got hurt. So
I remember the first car accident I ever got in. It's actually the only car accident that I have been at fault for was when I first started driving. So I must have been 15 or 16 years old. And I was distracted by my friend who was driving in the other lane. We were at a stoplight. He distracted me. I hit the gas a little too hard as the light turned green, and I hit the car in front of me. It wasn't going very fast. But the gentleman was so mad, and I had no idea what to do. I was a new driver. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. And he was like, where's your insurance card? And I just like basically gave him my wallet. I was like, you find it. I don't know where it is. And I think I ended up giving him like my AAA card. And the guy calls my mom and was like, your son tried to dupe me. And I was, I don't know where the insurance card is. So I basically gave this stranger my wallet. I said, you find the insurance card. I don't know where it is.
He was so flustered, he just gave it to her. Would you go through my wallet.
Would you take a Firestone discount card?
Oh, my goodness.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Was the other person, was her name Rebecca?
Yes, it was.
Rebecca just texted in.
Oh.
Rebecca said, longtime listener, and I am so very sorry, Derek, with three crying emojis.
Listen, when she said that, I said, man, don't worry. We're good. We're fine. You know, as long as the cars can get fixed, we are good. And she was just, boo, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Rebecca, you are a true sport.
So, but again, it was once it initially happened, and, you know, for that first, it seemed like 10 minutes, but it was probably only like a minute and a half. It's like, what's going on? But then once you kind of get out and you realize, and it's like, it's not that bad. Nobody's hurt. So then we exchanged. She was still a little nervous, and we exchanged information, and that's when it was just like, and then it came out even more. Then she gets out the car, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't worry, we're fine.
Rebecca also wants to make sure that you know that she is insured.
She goes, yes, I am insured.
Rebecca, if you wanted to meet Derek Mason, there were so many other ways you could have done it. You didn't have to get into a minor car accident with him, but we're glad you're okay, Rebecca. Thank you for listening. I hope that, you know, you'll look back on this and laugh.
I'm laughing now, so it's a part of life. It happens.
Absolutely.
D-Mace, if you get hot water and then you get a plunger and pull out the bumper, it'll come out. It won't even, you'll be all right.
That's not going to work this time.
Oh, okay.
There's Nick Frazier MacGyvering everything again. Just take a toilet plunger. It'll fix your bumper. 615.
And a blowtorch.
Yes. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But coming up next, let's get into the NHL draft. The Predators have the number 5 overall selection, again, as of now, because a lot can change between now and the start of the first round. But at the moment, the Predators have 3 first-round draft picks, starting with number 5 overall. And there are 2 players who have been linked to the Predators more often than any other. And we are going to discuss those 2 players coming up next. Willie Donick also tells me there may be a third player in the mix, according to one particular mock draft, or a fourth. We'll get into all of that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Join us, speaking of the draft, at Bridgestone Arena for a party like no other, and celebrate the future of Smashville at the Nashville Predators 2025 NHL Draft Party. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. Catch 1025 The Game's Draft Night in Smashville this evening starting at 6 o'clock, powered by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 429 and Hanks on Broadway, your honky-tonk for pre- and post-game fun.
Now is an opportunity, drafting as high as they are, which has also been a rarity for them as an organization over the years. Drafting as high as they are now is an opportunity to add a sort of truly, truly high-end player. There are a few there that I think they would consider. I think they should and will consider James Higgins out of Boston College. James is a high-end, high-skill centerman who would project potentially to be a first-line center for them someday, and certainly should be a top 6 player for them someday if they were to take him at number 5. But I've kept coming back, despite the quote-unquote perceived need within the Predators organization for a centerman, I kept coming back to Martone. I kept hearing Martone. He would add a little bit more size to their group. They do have some depth at the center ice position that's coming. Yegor Surin was their first-round pick a year ago. Everybody was introduced to Fyodor Svechkov this year with the NHL roster a little bit. So they do have some young players coming down the middle. Obviously, they have sort of good depth on the wing as well, whether that's James Higgins' Boston College teammate, Teddy Stiga, or Matthew Wood, who everybody has been introduced to now a little bit. But they've got good depth within the pool, good depth within the organization. There should be waves of young talent on the way, Tanner Molendijk on the blue line, et cetera. But Martone would give them their top prospect, and it wouldn't even be close, frankly. And I'm a big believer in Tanner Molendijk, but just a true cut above that. So would James Higgins, for that matter. But Martone is the name that I've heard linked to them more often than Higgins in the last few weeks here.
That was Scott Wheeler of The Athletic on our program earlier this week. By the way, the Predators just announced. So this is a decentralized draft. It's not the NHL draft you're used to where all of the teams are on the draft floor at the same time. So the NHL teams are picking celebrities to announce their first round draft picks. The Predators have three first round draft picks. The three people making their first round selections: Shea Weber, Jordan Davis, country artist, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not too big into country music, and George Kittle. Shea Weber, Jordan Davis, and George Kittle will
Good
be announcing
variety pack there.
Will be announcing the Predators' first round picks tonight at the NHL draft, number 5, number 23, and number
Shea
26.
Weber, all right.
Shea Weber, Jordan Davis.
You notice how they're just
and George Kittle
working Shea Weber back into the fold. That's nice to see. I like that.
Again, he deserves that.
Country music, yep. Not my forte, so I don't know where Jordan Davis ranks on the pantheon.
I really thought you were going to say Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll's too busy, man.
Yeah, do you think that would have been, it's like, it's almost
the guy
like
is everywhere.
You can get
I'm convinced there are about four Jelly Rolls because he is everywhere.
There is a word I use to describe Jelly Roll. It's a big word, ubiquitous, which means everywhere. The guy is always working. But nevertheless, we had Scott Wheeler on the other day, and as you heard in that clip, there really are two players that many of the draft experts believe are going to be the Predators' pick at number 5. There's Porter Martone, the 6'3", 208-pound right winger out of Brampton of the Ontario Hockey League. That's junior hockey. 98 points in 57 games last season, 37 goals, 61 assists. Or James Higgins, the 5'10", 186-pound center who was a freshman at Boston College this past season, 37 points, 11 goals, 26 assists in 37 games. Now, Willie, you drew my attention to this. Wheeler's colleague at The Athletic, Corey Pronman, who also analyzes the NHL draft, he put out his final mock draft. He has the Predators selecting a center by the name of Brady Martin with the 5th overall pick. Pronman writes, quote, "I would be surprised if Nashville came out of this draft without a center at this pick, although several people in the league think the Predators are very high on Martone. I think they likely go Caleb DeNoyer if he's available at 5, and in this mock he's not. Otherwise, my bet is between Brady Martin and Roger McQueen for them. McQueen bears some risk at 5, but Nashville did a lot of background work on him, and GM Barry Trotz was quoted this week saying he thinks McQueen could be a number one center."
And where was he quoted?
Right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game.
See, Jared, I give you your shout out. He thought I didn't the other day. Remember, he was
yes,
on, I was
he
on
was
the
on
list.
You.
I was
you
on
gave
his list.
Him the shout
and
out.
I was like, I gave it to you.
So, but I do think that the two players I have focused on are Martone and Higgins. And it really comes down to this. We know the Predators have needed a number one caliber center for a very, 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 very long time. I could say very for the next 10 minutes, and it would be accurate. Very, very long time.
Ubiquitous.
And ubiquitous. I don't know if that's the right word
no,
for ubiquitous.
I just like, you, I'm just trying to learn.
You like that word?
Yeah,
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to spell it, but I can say it.
Ubiquitous. That's how you spell it, U.
But Higgins, I was going to say a banned phrase on this show. I stopped myself. Higgins.
The G word?
Not the G word.
Okay.
The other one.
Okay.
Something with the box. Yeah. Something with the boxes.
Yes, yes.
Higgins fills a lot of needs for the Predators. On paper, he is a center. Corey Pronman of The Athletic ranked the NHL draft prospects in a number of categories. He said that Higgins is number one at best puck skills and number one at best hockey sense. But there have been questions about his size and physicality and how that will translate to the NHL level. Porter Martone, on the other hand, physically, he is an NHL player. Again, 6'3", 208 pounds. So I'm curious what Predators fans think about those two players. 615-737-1025. Because, Willie, although Martone is a highly accomplished player in the junior ranks, I am sure that if Martone and Hagans are both available at 5, and Martone is taken, there are going to be Predators fans who say, you passed on the center? So I am curious how Predators fans feel right now, just a few hours away from the number 5 overall pick.
And we start with our disclaimer that none of us have seen any of these guys play.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Unless you've watched clips. And I don't count that, right? You could probably watch clips and say, okay, I get a little feel for what this guy looks like. But, you know, it's not like Cam Ward where we watched a lot of Cam Ward. Before we had any idea that he was going to become the Titans pick, he was just on TV a lot. And then once the Titans started honing in on him, you probably watched a lot more. This doesn't work like this. And these guys are 18. We're talking about Cam Ward when he was a zero-star recruit. That's what age these guys are.
Hagans is about as old as I was, maybe a few years older, when I was so flustered about getting into a car accident, I handed somebody that I didn't know my wallet. So just put that into perspective.
Yeah. And if Cam Ward were eligible for an 18-year-old draft, if that existed in football, mm-hmm. he was probably an undrafted guy, right? He probably would not have even been close. So we see all the pathways that these can take. But let's get to the center part of this. I have added a couple guys. Number one, the guy that some people think could slip to 5, which is unlikely, is this Denoyer, the French-Canadian. He's a really good all-around guy that most people think will be gone before the Predators pick at 5. But there's some things that can happen here. So let's just mention his name so that you're not completely shocked. If he were to fall to 5, it would seem like the Predators should consider him, even though it's unlikely. Then you've got Hagans, who we've talked about a lot, probably more so than anybody, because at one point he's an intriguing story, and as Jared has honed in on, it's unique that at that young of an age, you can go from being the hands-down best prospect just a few months ago to now slipping a lot, right? Some people have him down at 7 or down at 10 sometimes. It's a varying range, and a lot of it's is due to his, as you mentioned, his size, right? He's a little guy. He's a water bug. He's extremely skilled. But what did he do? Maybe he just didn't wow you at Boston College, but that's also a wild card because he's playing against older kids at college as opposed to a lot of these kids who are playing basically high school hockey, high-end high school hockey, right? The Canadian junior model. So it's hard to compare these things. And then, as you mentioned, Corey Pronman, who's really good at what he does, has Brady Martin going to the Predators. He's also a center. And Hagans is the smaller water bug type of center, the skilled guy, right? Brady Martin is more of the extreme motor, competitor, hard-nosed, can hit, two-way game with skill, but maybe not quite as much skill as a Hagans, who's got incredible skill. And then there's the total wild card in McQueen, right? George McQueen.
Roger McQueen.
I'm sorry. Roger McQueen.
Who's George McQueen?
I don't know. Was he a basketball player? Player named George McQueen?
He was on cars.
And fortunately, I did not say Steve McQueen.
That was Lightning McQueen.
Ka-chow. It was his brother.
Lightning George. McQueen.
Lightning McQueen was Owen Wilson's character in the animated
movie
Cars.
But he had a brother named George.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Well, let's start with that then. If you draft McQueen, there are a lot of nickname possibilities right off the bat. And this guy is the freak that probably has the highest ceiling, but also some things that, like a back injury, and he's a unique player. Probably the highest range of outcomes is what people say. But Barry Trotz did unsolicited say, I'm really intrigued with this guy, and he could be a number one center. So there are 4 centers that I think are legit candidates for the Predators at 5. And then there's Martone, who's not a center, but he is a guy that, as you heard Scott Wheeler say, has a lot of great attributes as the power forward, a little bit more in the Brady Tkachuk kind of mode.
I'm always a bit hesitant with this, comparing draft prospects to established players, because oftentimes you're reaching a little bit, right? But And by the way, Frazier tells us that George McQueen was a soccer player born in 1895 from Scotland. Oh, so wow. I don't know how Willie.
That's who I was thinking of. Yes. That's who I was thinking of. George McQueen, the Scottish great soccer player.
So Scott Wheeler, he would know because he watches all of these guys. He's not like us. We watch the clips and the highlight reels. He spends times at these rinks watching these kids all year long to prepare for the NHL draft. And he had a story about a week and a half ago where he offered NHL player comparisons for the top prospects in this draft. So let's start with Higgins. And Willie, then you can provide some context for those who may not be familiar with the NHL players that that Scott is mentioning. So for James Higgins, out of Boston College, his player comparable, according to Scott Wheeler, is somewhere between Logan Cooley of Utah and Jack Hughes of New Jersey, but closer to Cooley in style and projection. So Higgins, according to Wheeler, has some Cooley in him and has some Jack Hughes in him.
Both incredibly talented young players who are just scratching the surface. Hughes is a little older, and he has had enormous numbers, but he's had some injury problems, right? I think so. That's another thing when you're smaller, just like Victor Arvidsson, you ask how long can your body hold up? Are you more susceptible to injury when you're a little bit smaller? But I think any Predator fan who has seen Jack Hughes, or if you've watched close enough to watch Logan Cooley, who's still really young, but you're going to hear more about him because he's in the Predators division playing for Utah. That's the guy I'm thinking of, right? He is just about to blossom. He looks like the real deal.
He had 65 points, Logan Cooley did. Yeah. 65 points in 75 games last season at age 20.
Age 20. He's coming. I'll take either one of those guys.
So do you want the measurables and a guy that can play right now, or the guy that may be a little bit undersized? How big is he?
5'10".
10?
5'10", 186.
Exactly.
Compared to Martone, who is 6'3", 208.
And centers are typically around that, 6 foot range? Yeah. I know we got Sidney Crosby, who's 5'11", somewhere around there?
Yeah,
but it
depends on your style.
Yeah, but typically you want them to be a bigger guy. But if he has that skill set, it's going to be a skill set you're going to be waiting on as well.
Well, that's the question that we should ask all of our listeners at 615-737-1025. You can answer Derek's question. Do you want the player with the measurables who could play sooner rather than later? Or do you want the skilled player who may need a little bit more seasoning but projects to be one of the top offensive players in the NHL? By the way, quickly before we get to Chris Mason, Scott Wheeler's comparison for Porter Martone, Mark Scheifele if he were a winger. And Predators fans know how good of a player Mark Scheifele is with all of the battles that the Predators have had with the Jets. Caleb DeNoyer, his comparison according to Wheeler, a cross between Sean Monahan, Elias Lindholm, and Nico Hischier. So that's quite interesting.
And that probably doesn't get you as excited as the other guys you mentioned.
No, right? Not absolutely not.
Those are really good players.
Brady Martin, who you mentioned, and Corey Pronman mentioned, his player comparable, according to Scott Wheeler, is a cross between Mike Richards and Sam Bennett. And Mike Richards was an ultimate competitor. He's best known for his time with the LA Kings when they won multiple championships. He was a key cog, and hockey fans know Sam Bennett right now. He's been outstanding for the Panthers. And then one more, Roger McQueen, according to Scott Wheeler, his player comparison, a combination of Gabe Vilardi, who plays for the Jets, Kevin Hayes, and Blake Wheeler. So an interesting mix there.
And at their best, those are really good players.
Yes. 615-737-1025. Who are you hoping the Predators take with the number 5 overall pick? You can also ask Derek's question about, do you want the ready-made player like Porter Martone in terms of his measurables, or would you rather take a shot on an undersized but highly skilled player like James Higgins? 615-737-1025. We will be joined by Predators television analyst Chris Mason coming up next to preview the NHL draft. But before we do, tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville. Pregame begins at 5:50 and the first pitch is at 6:05. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
It's time! Shot broken up in front. And a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in and a backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Before we bring in Predators television analyst Chris Mason, a couple of texts on our text line, more than a couple, presented, or driven, I should say, by WilsonCountyHyundai.com about what the Predators should do at number 5. Chuck says, I'm going with either Hagans or McQueen, and if neither one of those are available, I will go with Martin. Stephanie says, I think go with Porter Martone. I want to see, in Jared's words, a big boy forward slash wing, and size is something we continue to lack. Honestly, I'm so over seasoning prospects, I want someone who can play sooner rather than later. AJ from White House says, Hagans, don't overthink it. You've been wanting a highly skilled 1C for forever, and you might not be in this position for a long time. Trey says, I think we should take a guy built for the NHL. We tried the small skill guys in 2018, and it went perfectly until we ran into the Jets, who were all big boys and just bullied us the whole series. In Jared's words, the big boy forward. Let's bring in Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, as we discuss the NHL draft. So, Chris, as you've studied these prospects and the Predators' needs, is there a player who you would like the Predators to take at number 5 overall?
Oh, man. You know what? I've been going back over the last 10 years and seeing all the draft picks and where players are drafted and how they've turned out. And we're going through with Willie and Jacob Underwood, and come up a lot of guys. Matt Boldy at 12. You have Matthew Tkachuk at 7. It's all over the map. And to me, the biggest swing, I would say, in this draft, and a player that, you know, could end up being, you know, the best of the bunch is Roger McQueen. You know, he's listed at 6'5". I heard he's now 6'6", pushing 6'7". This guy's an absolute beast. He's starting to, you know, be able to skate a little better. I know there's injury concerns, but everybody's had a chance to look at their medical. I don't anticipate the Predators going with McQueen, just with the other guys that are, you know, ahead of him. But to me, I think someone's going to get a really intriguing player that's not like nobody in the draft. And I mean, if you look at the Stanley Cup Finals now, you know, size still matters. Corey Perry, you know, Brad Marchand, he's not a big guy, but he's got that physicality. Bennett was the MVP. These guys, you know, Tkachuk, Barkov is that big player. These guys get it done. And you know, if you're looking at the Preds position, Frondell will probably gone. Misa, obviously, Schaefer. You know, you're going between Martone, who's got that size. The kid can score. He's got some physicality to his game. There's Brady Martin, who's maybe a little more of a straight line player, but probably the most physical player, I think, in the draft, and especially in that, you know, in that top part of the draft, that you know, could be an option. This guy hits everything, it moves. He's 6'1", I think 174 as of now. If this guy puts on size, he could be a menace in the National Hockey League. Whether he's a 1C, probably more of a 2C type of a guy. He's not going to quarterback a power play or anything like that, but you know, he's a guy that could get it done at the NHL level. And then you have Hagans, who's tough to pass because of his, you know, skill level. He's not as big of a guy, but I always find when you're looking at these prospects, it's so hard for me, and I think for scouts, to, let's say you're picking Hagans, who played in college, compared to, you know, a Brady Martin or a Porter Martone that played junior. I mean, if Hagans was in junior, he would have probably lift that league up. But it's tough when these guys all play in different leagues. Frondell obviously played, you know, men's hockey over in Sweden. So that's, again, another league that you have to try to compare these players that you are picking between. But I think they're going to go, you know, probably pass Hagans, I would have to say, and maybe go with, you know, a Martone or, a Martin type of a player.
Chris Mason is with us. And, Mace, we're looking forward to our conversation with Vern Fidler coming up in the next hour. So as we talk about this fifth pick, I think the exercise we did this morning, you touched on it, how often you can get that guy that really moves the needle, the dude, a freak, You know, you're probably not going to get Connor McDavid, the super freak, right? The truly super superstar. But we were looking at your odds in that 5 to 10, 5 to 15 range. And it's interesting year to year. Some years it's loaded with guys like that. And other years there's only a handful.
Yeah, it's tough. It's so hard because, you know, you're picking 17-year-olds. You don't know. You're taking your best guess on where you project these guys. That's why I think the interviews, obviously doing due diligence on players, you know, a lot of these kids, I mean, they love the game. Hockey has become, you know, a lot more of a skill game. So even these physical players, you have to have an element of skill, you know, to play this game now, and speed and skating ability and projecting, you know, whether a guy, if he's an elite skater in junior, will that translate into the National Hockey League? If he's an average skater, you know, that's tough, you know, to be able to really develop skating, I think, at that level. But you just never know. There seems to be a lot of really good hockey players and a lot of guys that could probably hit in this draft. There's no superstars. I think the McDavids and McKinnons come around once every, you know, 10 years. I can't remember the kid's name off the top, but they got that kid next year. That's the one that's...
Gavin McKenna?
Gavin McKenna, yeah. He's the one. You want that number one pick because he seems like one of those guys. But it's such an important pick. I mean, you look at the Predators, the last time they had it was Seth Jones. It was a great pick. You know, but you don't get these opportunities come around too often. And when you get it, you know, and they've got three in the first round, you've got to make sure you get as close to a sure thing as possible. But like you said, it's there's a lot more misses, I would say, than guys that strike and guys that get taken later. In the draft, sometimes, you know, the 15, the 10 to 15, 20 range end up turning out to be better NHL players. But it's so hard because they all play in different leagues and they're 17. You just don't know the progression. And when they get to the next level, can they be, you know, adapt from being a smaller fish in a bigger pond? You know, these guys have all had success and they're not going to score the way they did in junior at the next level. Until they develop a little more, hopefully down the road they can. But, you know, that's the job of the scouting staff is to have to identify these guys and make the right pick.
And, Chris, I think it's important to keep these things in perspective. I saw the NHL tweet out a list of the most career points by players selected fifth overall. Number one on that list by roughly 1,000 points is Jaromir Jagr with the Penguins in 1990. Phil Kessel, right after him, drafted number 5 overall in 2006 with 992 career points. But then I'm looking further down the list. Braden Schenn. Braden Schenn was the 5th overall pick of the Los Angeles Kings in 2009. And I look at Braden Schenn's career. He's still in the NHL. He's played more than 1,000 games. He's only topped 60 points twice in his 16-year career. He had 70 points 1 year and 65 points another year. He just missed it a few times, 59 points, 58 points. But I know that Predators fans right now are probably listening and going, if the 5th overall pick turns into Braden Schenn, that's not a good pick. But Braden Schenn has been a productive NHL player for more than 1,000 games. So, how do you keep these things in perspective, I guess?
Well, I think if you get that pick, I mean, go look at all the 5th picks that turned out to nothing. I bet there's way more of those than the ones that did. I would say that's a home run. I mean, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's still playing. He's still getting it done. He's an excellent penalty killer, physicality, leadership, all those other intangibles that, you know, you need to have on a winning team. So I would think if you get a guy like that, I would take that, you know, 100 times over. You know, obviously everybody wants the Jaromir Jagr and those types of players, but the reality of it is those come around once every, you know, generation, and it's kind of a throw at the dartboard. It's a little bit of luck. So I would say if you get a player like that, if it's, you know, Porter Martone or somebody like that, it's probably got a little more offensive upside than, you know, a Braden Schenn. But I mean, if you get a player with that longevity and, you know, all those different intangibles to his game, I would say that's a huge win. You know, I mean, you look at, you know, some other players that, you know, Willie just named off, or, you know, we were going over earlier today of a bunch of guys that, you know, in the top 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that never, you don't even know their names because they've never made it. And these are guys that, you know, the same group of players that we're talking about now. So it's just so tough. Is Hagans going to, I mean, Hagans was a guy that was, you know, at one point talked about potentially being the first overall pick in this year's draft. And now for some reason he slid down, you know, to maybe the 7, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, kind of range. But I mean, you don't know. There's a rumor come out yesterday that now I think San Jose potentially looking at Frondell. I mean, this guy was a guy that was, you know, closer to 10 about, you know, a month or 2 months ago, and they haven't played that many games in the last 2 months. So these ratings and rankings are changing left and right. Whether there'll be movement, I don't expect there to be any movement in those picks, but it'll be interesting to watch some of these teams if they actually take their pick or if they look into that and who it's going to be. But, you know, things are going to change. I mean, Michael Misa would be, to me, that would be the one. That's why you're hoping the Preds could have got a, you know, a little bit of a higher pick. I think that was the guy that, in my opinion, would have been the guy that the Preds would really be a game changer for them. But that's not the reality of the situation. So you have to look at the other, you know, elements and intangibles. And obviously the competitiveness and the physicality and size factor is something that the Predators are looking at.
Quickly, Chris, you are going to stick around for our conversation coming up next with your former teammate, Vernon Fiddler, whose son, Blake, is a first-round pick, expected to be a first-round pick later today. How old does it make you feel that Blake Fiddler is about to be drafted?
Really old. I remember when my daughter Avery, who's going off to college next year, and Blake were hanging out, and we were, you know, setting them up back in the day, saying, "Yeah, when they get older, maybe, you know, all that kind of stuff." And for Fids is a great guy, man. He's one of the best teammates, and it's so cool to see Blake, you know, blossom. I don't know where the heck he got his size. 6'4". Probably still growing. I mean, that's, you know, there's been a lot of speculation too with the Preds picking at 23 and 26 that could be, you know, a name they're looking at. He's a big 6'4", good skating, puck moving defenseman. He's got some good offensive upside, can skate well for a big man. You know, it's really cool to see, you know, what he's done with his career. He's had some great success with the U.S. national team. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, that's a guy, the Preds, that'd be really cool to see. And I think will he be the first Nashville born player in the first round? I think
first
in the first round,
there has never been a Tennessee born player to make it to the NHL.
Wow.
So he would be the first if he were to do it. But we are going to keep Chris Mason on the line. He's going to join us for our conversation with former Predators forward Vernon Fiddler coming up next. Again, his son Blake expected to be drafted in the first round tonight in the range where the Predators have two picks at number 23 and number 26. 615-737-1025. Vern Fiddler will join us coming up next. But before we get to Vern, get out of the summer heat for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2025 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events.